when is good enough? Good enough. I remember asking that question as a 16-year-old playing soccer on the soccer field. When is good enough good enough? I remember asking the question as a 21-year-old writing the last page of my thesis for chemical engineering. When's good enough good enough? I remember 8 years ago, last year of working as an engineer, putting together a presentation for my boss that's worth $1 million. When is good enough good enough? I also ask the question daily over the 11 years that I've been married to my wonderful wife, Kiralee. And when I'm looking after my kids as a dad to my daughter, Tiani, and son, Ashton, when is good enough good enough? Or even on a more, less serious note, every morning when I make a coffee, when is good enough good enough? But we might be standing here and thinking, actually, every one of you in this room, you've thought of that question as well, haven't you? When is good enough good enough? And for each of you, it looks different. For some of you, it's your family life. For others of you, it's your work life. For others of you, it's relationships, study, hobbies. And when we look at the world and see how does the world try and answer when is good enough good enough, and each time we try and find an answer, Facebook gives us another answer and just breaks it down. Or we see a better photo on Instagram and go, ah, I'm not good enough again. And even if for some particular reason you think you reach that goal of being good enough, you get there, and it actually, it's not that satisfying. And you want to push and be better. And what about when it comes to you and God? Have you ever thought about the question, when is good enough when it comes between me and God? It's really interesting. This week with the Heart of Annandale, I've had lots of conversations with all sorts of people, and that question keeps coming up. When is good enough when it comes to me and God? And what I love in Luke 18, 9 to 14, Jesus answers this very question for us. When is good enough for God? So let's have a look, verse 9. He, that's Jesus, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. And Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, and he's speaking a parable. Now, a parable was a story with a deeper spiritual truth. And Jesus is saying this parable to a particular group of people. Do you see in verse 9? Some who trusted in themselves. These were people who were confident in who they were and what they did. And we see two reasons why in verse 9. Do you have a look? Verse 9, the first reason, they trusted in themselves because that they were righteous. Righteous means that they were right in their own eyes, that they were morally correct, morally right, that in their eyes, when God looked at them, they heard God say, good job, mate, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. But the other reason why they trusted in themselves, in verse 9, it says because they looked down on everyone else. These people that Jesus is talking about, they trusted in themselves so much so that they thought everyone else is below them. They had like this snobbery to them. We're elitists. We're so much better than all those people. And it's to that group of people that Jesus is speaking to. And let's have a look at what the beginning of this parable starts off with. We're introduced to two characters, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple complex to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. So we're introduced to these two characters, these two men. They go up to the temple complex. The temple complex in the Jewish religion was the pinnacle place. This was the place where God's presence dwelt. This was the place where you would be able to pray, speak to God. This was the place where you worshiped God. This is the place where you offered sacrifices to God. This was the ultimate spiritual place of worship for the Jewish people. And you've got two men going there to pray, to talk to God. And before we look at what they pray, Jesus lets us know their job descriptions. Have a look. There's two men, two job descriptions. One's a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Now, a Pharisee, they were, first century Palestine, they were the spiritual Jewish, spiritual leaders, religious leaders of first century Palestine. They were the guys that they were so concerned in keeping the Old Testament. They didn't want to break any of God's laws that they said, all right, we don't want to break any of God's laws. Let's make all these extra laws so we don't get anywhere close to breaking God's law. And let's set all these extra laws as of the same authority as God's word. They're all about the law and all their extra laws that they created. But in the society's eyes, first century Palestine, they were regarded as the pious religious people. They were held up with respect. And so when the listeners in Jesus' time heard that there's a Pharisee in this story, they would have been thinking, this guy's the good guy. Especially compared to the other guy, the tax collector. See, the tax collector, well, he was not so highly regarded in society in first century Palestine. No, he was regarded as a traitor, as a scumbag. Why? Well, he was collecting money from his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, his fellow Jewish people, and giving the money, the taxes, to the Roman Empire. The Romans who had conquered the Jews, the Romans who had put a Roman king to subjugate the Jews, the Romans who were ruling over the Jews. This guy was working for the enemy. And so when the people heard tax collector, they're thinking traitor. They're thinking this is the bad guy in the story. It's kind of like for those who have that Mac PC battle. It's like someone working in an Apple store and they're one of the Apple geniuses. They're working there and then they tell their friends in the store, you know what, guys, I've got a job offer. I'm going down the road to the Windows store. And all the guys in the Apple store are thinking, are you serious? We're the sophisticated, classy guys, and you want to work with them? Really? You're a traitor. How could you? It's kind of like that. These tax collectors, they were not highly regarded at all by the people. And so you've got, in the first century Palestine, listeners, is they're hearing, you've got a good guy, the Pharisee, and the bad guy, a tax collector. What are they going to pray? So let's have a look, verse 11. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, idolaters, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of everything I get. So here we see the first of two prayers from two different men, the Pharisee. And what I want us to notice about the Pharisee are two things, his posture and his prayer. Have a look at his posture, verse 11. The Pharisee took his stand. You see, he walked into the temple complex. He walked in the presence of God to pray to God, and he stood there confidently. I've got this. God, I'm here. And so he's standing there confident. That's his posture. What about his prayer? Have a look at his prayer. Verse 11 continues. God, I thank you. Starts well, thanking God. What does he thank God for? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, idolaters, or even this tax collector. So the Pharisee starts his prayer by saying, Father, God, no, God, thank you that I don't do bad things like those people, like those greedy people, like those unrighteous, those who don't do the right thing people, like those adulterers, those who sleep around, and especially like that traitor. a tax collector. God, I thank you so much that I don't do those bad things. But then he goes on in verse 12. Not only does he pray to God, thanking him for all the bad things he doesn't do, he goes on to say all the good things he does do. Do you see it in verse 12? I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of everything I get. You see, the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 16, says God's law calls his people, the Jews, to fast, to not eat, for one day in the year. This guy fasts twice a week. It's like over 100 times more than what God's law says. See, he's saying to God, God, I go above and beyond what you say. How good am I? In fact, not only do I go above and beyond what your law says with regards to how often I fast, but also how often I give a tenth of everything. Do you see? He gives a tenth of everything he gets. Now, in Leviticus 27, God's law calls his people, the Jews, to give a tenth of their crops and a tenth of their livestock. But this guy, he's so good. He goes above and beyond and gives a tenth of everything. See, this man's prayer is about how he hasn't done some bad things and how he's done lots of good things. And the listeners of the time would have been thinking, yeah, that's why this Pharisee is the good guy in the story. That's why this is the good guy. Look at how good he is. Let's compare it to the other guy, the tax collector, verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest, saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. Let's look at the posture and the prayer of this man. See, unlike the Pharisee who stood so confidently, look at the posture of the tax collector, verse 13. He doesn't stand confidently. No, he stands far off. Ashamed, not worthy. Look, he can't even raise his eyes to heaven when he's praying. No, he has his eyes down. Too ashamed to even be looking up when he's speaking to God. And then he keeps striking his chest, showing how full of remorse and repentance he is, of how wicked a life he's lived. But that's just his posture. What about his prayer? Verse 13 says, he says one sentence, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. It's not about him. Compare that to the prayer of the Pharisee. Have a look again at verse 11. Look at how he prays. The Pharisee prays, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything. I get I. Five I's in two sentences. It's all about him. But the tax collector, the only thing he says about himself is that he's a sinner. What's a sinner? God's word, the Bible says that a sinner is one who falls short of God's standard and goes your way instead of God's way. So it's pretend this is a target and that's God's standard. And I'm the archer. And every arrow I'm trying to aim at the target is like me trying to aim at doing things God's way. So this is every action I do, every thought I do, every word I say, and every time I shoot the arrow, trying to reach God's standard, what happens? Either the arrow falls short, or I go, I don't even want to shoot that way. I want to shoot this way. And I want to go the exact opposite way. See, sin is falling short of God's standard or going my way instead of God's way. And this man acknowledges who he is. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your standard, God, and I go my way instead of your way. He acknowledges what a broken man he is before God, and he knows that the only thing that he deserves is God's judgment. Because he's fallen short of God's standard, because he's gone his own way, he knows that God needs to be just and he deserves God's anger, God's wrath. That's why we see in verse 13, turn your wrath from me. He's asking God to show me mercy, because what I deserve is your anger, your wrath, your judgment. And I'm asking for mercy. Mercy means to receive something you don't deserve. He knows he deserves God's anger, God's wrath, God's judgment. But he's asking for mercy. God, give me something I don't deserve. And again, the listeners in first century Palestine would have heard Jesus' word and gone, yep, I knew that tax collector was the bad guy. He even admits it. He's a sinner. But what Jesus says in the next verse changes things entirely. Remember that question, when is good enough good enough? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Let me just read that again. This man, the one who is a sinner, the one who was a tax collector, the one who blatantly said, God, I've got nothing. I've done nothing good. He's the one, Jesus said, that went to his home justified. The word justified means declared not guilty. The one who said he was guilty is told he's declared not guilty. See, Jesus changes the categories. It's not about whether you're good or bad. It's not about whether when is good enough good enough. No, Jesus says you're never going to be good enough. No, he changes it. He flips it upside down. He says the categories is not good or bad, but actually what's happening in your heart. Exalted or humbled? Have a look at verse 14 as it ends. Verse 14 ends. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. See, Jesus changes the categories. It's not, am I good enough to enter heaven? Because we're never going to be good enough. Remember, God's standard is perfection. We fall short or we go our own way. No, Jesus' answer is a heart issue. Do you trust in yourself? Or do you trust in his son and humble yourself? And not trust in yourself? And not trust in all the good or bad things that you've done? Because that's exactly what the tax collector did. He didn't trust in himself. He just acknowledged he was broken before God and asked for mercy. See, Jesus is saying he will lift up those who are lowly. But if you trust in yourself and in all the good things you've done, Jesus says you will be humbled. You will receive God's judgment. But how? How is this possible? How is it possible that the sinner, the broken one, the one who acknowledged that he's broken before God, he's got nothing to offer good to God, how is he justified? The word justified, declared not guilty. It's really interesting. The Greek, that verb is a passive. That means the action is done to him. He doesn't justify himself. He doesn't do the action. The action is done to him. This man is justified by someone else, God. But how isn't answered in Luke 18. Jesus leaves it hanging. He's a good storyteller. He waits five more chapters to that very first Good Friday when he was nailed on that cross. And it's there that Jesus answers how the guilty could be declared not guilty. Because on that very first Good Friday, and we're going to be celebrating Good Friday next week, on that very first Good Friday 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, the one who died was declared not guilty. He had always done what God asked. He always reached God's standard, unlike us, and he swapped places with me, with you, so that we who are guilty, God might look at us and say, because you trust in my son, I declare you not guilty. You don't deserve it. There's nothing good that you have done that deserves it, but I want to show you mercy. Trust in my son. See, when it comes to the question, when is good enough good enough? Jesus' answer is never. For us, we will never be good enough. But the great thing is, he was. And so he changes the categories. And it's not about whether we're good or bad, but it has everything to do with what's happening in our heart. Will we lift ourselves up? Will we exalt ourselves before God? Do we come before God and say, God, you need to let me into heaven. Come on. You know what a type of... I'm such a good guy. I don't do those bad things. I don't really hurt anyone. I don't speed much. I pay my taxes. I even give to charity. I give blood. I'm a good person. You got to let me in. Surely that's enough. And we exalt ourselves. Or do we come to God humbly and say, I've got nothing. I've got nothing to offer you, God, except trust in your son. See, the only one who is good enough is Jesus. And so for us in this room, there's going to be different responses. For some of us, you've been following Jesus for a while. And today Jesus is saying, hear my words. The one who exalts himself will be humbled. You humbled yourself. You trusted in Jesus. But don't get all caught up with your own self-righteousness now that you're a follower of mine. Don't come to me and say, God, look how good I'm doing. I'm coming to church every week. I'm coming to community group every week. I read my Bible every day. I pray. I'm even bringing others to church. And we list this list of all these good things we're doing now that we're followers of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no. Don't rely on you. So if you're a follower of Jesus, hear Jesus' warning and encouragement. It has nothing to do with you. Even when you're a follower of his, it's still all him. To keep coming back to him humbly. Others of you are sitting here and thinking, sounds like a load of rubbish. Come on, really? I'm pretty good. If you actually looked at my life, I'm doing pretty good. But God knows every single thought, every single action you've done, even when others haven't seen or heard. And Jesus' word is clear. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. Only God's judgment awaits if we only trust in ourselves. Others of you are sitting here and thinking, this is new. I always thought that to get right with God, I needed to do stuff. I needed to be good. But Jesus seems to be saying that it's nothing about what I do. That it doesn't have to be that I have to be a good person to enter heaven. I want to find out more. Then come along to Introducing God. We're starting our new course on the 28th of April next month. We would love for you to come along and you can ask those questions. You can investigate for yourself and you can look at it as an adult and think, yes, this is true. and make an informed decision to follow Jesus. And the final group of you, you're here and you're thinking, yep, I've already written that, I've got that date locked on in the mind. I want to come along to introducing God, but I want to pray the tax collector's prayer today. I want to pray and say to God, I have fallen short of your standard. I have done things my way, not your way. I have trusted in myself and not in your Son. Forgive me. Show me this mercy of declaring me not guilty, because I want to trust that your Son died for me. And so if you want to pray that prayer, I'm going to give you that opportunity to pray now. And so will you join me now as we pray to our great God who has shown us this mercy. Our Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that I have lived my way and fallen short of your standard. I come to you broken, with nothing to offer. I'm sorry that I've trusted in the good things that I've done and in the bad things I haven't done. Please forgive me. Please turn your wrath from me, a sinner. And thank you that because Jesus died, I trust that he swapped places with me so that you now declare me not guilty. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. And thank you for showing me the mercy I don't deserve. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, then God has heard. And just like in this story, the tax collector walked away justified, you can go home tonight knowing that God looks at you and says, you're not guilty anymore. And that your trust in Jesus is what has saved you and rescued you.